Even when you feel low, you can still go. Even when you feel slow, you can still go. Even when there's no hope, you can still go. I never answer to no, man, I still go. Go, 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 go.
Hello and welcome to Wake Up. My name is Robbie Gowell, and this is my second season as a podcaster. And if you've seen season one, it was called The Show with Robbie Gowell, and we've changed the name. We have a new studio here in Tampa, and it is now called Wake Up with Robbie Gowell. Just trying to get you folks to wake up and maybe learn something new, expand your horizons. Today, I've got an exciting guest lined up. He is a motivational speaker, celebrity golfer, and known for some famous trick shots, and most recently, a skin cancer survivor. So we're diving into a lot of stuff today. So without any further ado, let me bring out my special guest, Todd Kierstead. Hey, Todd, what's up, man? How are you? It's been a while.
Yeah, it's great to see you as well. Looking forward to this.
Yeah, so how are things up in Toronto?
You know, it's summertime. It's good.
Yeah.
The West is cooperating.
Being a Buffalo guy, that was pretty close. What were we, about 2.5 hours away? So it starts getting, I remember some years, even at Halloween, as a kid, it was cold. So you got about a couple months left.
Yeah, and you being on the bottom end of that lake, you were getting all the lake effect snow. We were getting nothing up here in Toronto, and you guys were getting hammered in Buffalo.
Yeah, always got hammered. And we used to jump off the roof for fun because we'd have those snow drifts that would come, and that's what we would do when our parents weren't home. We'd climb up to the roof and jump off the house. So good times.
Love it.
So we got so much to talk about. I'm so glad you're here as my guest. But for those of people that are watching this podcast that don't know you or what you do, let's start with growing up, okay? Because here you are, celebrity golfer, trick shot artist, and when you see some of these trick shots that Todd does, pretty amazing. Did you always have such good hand-eye coordination?
Well, my dad had me playing sports at such a young age. He had me playing everything, whether it was baseball in the backyard, it was road hockey, it was hockey. I grew up playing everything from rugby, football, you name it. I grew up playing golf all my life. My dad had me playing golf at a really, I've seen pictures that I don't remember being taken where the putter was literally taller than I was. But at the time, golf was an old man's game. It wasn't cool. I grew up playing hockey. My aspirations was going to be, you know, playing in the NHL. I was recruited for hockey at University of Wisconsin. Blew my back out before that. So that, unfortunately, didn't happen. And it was like, okay, let's give this golf thing a try. And it's been the best thing. Actually, the year I got into golf, I had an opportunity to go down and play professional roller hockey in San Diego. It was big at the time. It was huge. They were selling out like the Spectrum in Philadelphia. They were selling out the Odd in Buffalo. And
really?
And it was just like, okay, roller hockey, 4 years, golf, rest of my life. And it was the best decision I ever made.
Wow. So did you, I mean, you said you played a lot of different sports growing up as a child, but did you play on the golf team in high school or anything like that? Nothing?
You know what? I played on the golf team in high school, but again, it was just for fun. Like I just did whatever it took to get the ball from point A to point B. I actually had my first golf lesson. My dad was my coach all my life, but you know, he wasn't a coach. He was just, let's go, oh, try this, try that. I actually had my first official golf lesson the year after I became a pro. And my game went downhill a little bit because, you know, I just did whatever it took to get the ball from point A to point B. Then when they started to fix some of the stuff, my game got a little bit worse, but then I finally started to get a lot better after that and started playing, played for a little bit. Then old hockey injuries crept up. My shoulders were done. Got headhunted by a gentleman by the name of Jim McClain, a very famous golf instructor at the time. Started working at his program of teaching some PGA professionals, teaching some celebrities. And then it was actually through sheer boredom on the driving range that I realized I had a little bit of hand-eye coordination. And that's how the whole entertainment trick shot came about.
Now, you've played with quite a few celebrities. I remember you sending me a picture of the hockey guys. I think, who's it, like Austin Matthews was out there with you. Who else? I mean, I remember seeing a picture of you with four or five guys. I was like, holy shit, this is legit.
Do a lot of celebrity events. Travel around the world doing this. Been everywhere from Japan, South Korea, Germany, Italy, UK, all through the US, all through the Caribbean. Raising a lot of money for various charities through trick shots at corporate events, charity events, and celebrity events. And I've had the privilege of, you know, I got to pinch myself every single day when I'm hitting golf balls with guys that you know, not idolize, but appreciate what they've done for a living. When you get into the likes of, you know, NHL players, NBA players, NFL players, MLB players, you know, you appreciate their talent, and the tables kind of get turned on the golf course because I'm hitting some of the crazy stuff and they're going, can you show me how to do that? So it's kind of cool.
How hard is it to learn that? I mean, I don't think that's something you can just teach. I mean, when we're going to show in a little bit some of the trick shots you do, your hand-eye coordination is sick.
Well, I've been very blessed with it. I think, you know, my dad passed away about 12 years ago, and I realized, you know, with looking at the, you know, our life together and what he gave me as the father-son relationship, you know, I always thought it was God-given talent, and I honestly believe it was playing so many sports. You know, he was a big kid himself, so we were playing everything together that he gave me the hand-eye coordination to do what I do now. You know, I've been voted Trick Shot of the Year on the Golf Channel and featured on everything from ESPN, Sports Illustrated. Christ, I've even been on TMZ 4 different occasions, and not in a scandalous fashion. You know, that, let's get that out of the way. But I've hitting golf balls with various celebrities that, you know, a celebrity would be walking out of the airport at LAX and, oh my God, I can't believe this guy hit a golf ball off of you, and all this crazy stuff. So yeah, I've been on TMZ 4 different occasions. And I honestly believe it's the childhood upbringing. You know, at the time there was no video games. You know, I'd always have to go over to my friend's house to play Atari and Nintendo. You know, hockey was my life. It really was. And it was either, you know, deflecting pucks in front of the net, having slap shots come at me and trying to deflect them. And I realized I had a little bit of hand-eye coordination.
It's funny you say that because I grew up at the same time. I don't know, how old are you?
I'm a 70s baby. So
56, I lose count. 70s baby. Yeah. Okay, I was born in 68, so about the same time, right? But you're right, there was that one kid that had the video games, because we didn't, you know, we didn't have the video, but the one kid down the street did, and that's where we went when we wanted the Atari.
Yeah.
But now the video games they got, it's like real shit that they're looking at. I can't even play them. Like, back in the day, it was easy.
And you know what? It's a blessing in disguise, you know? It's a curse as well. You know, so many kids now are in front of the video games and the phones, but oh my God, the athletes, the stuff that these kids are doing with a hockey stick and a puck that, you know, I talked to Wayne Gretzky and I'm like, he's like, I could never do some of the stuff that these guys are doing right now. And I think it's all because of the video games. You know, they're seeing what can be done and they're going out and practicing it for hours and they're doing it.
Yeah. Even on YouTube, like they'll watch YouTube videos of some sick moves. You got kids that are like 8, 9 years old playing hockey that are doing the Michigan.
Yeah, exactly.
It's crazy.
And, you know, I can't even raise a puck, right?
Well, let's talk about some of these celebrity photos you got. We're going to put them up on the screen. Dan Marino. How is Dan Marino to golf with?
First of all, I didn't realize how tall he was. Oh my God, the guy's like 6'5". You know, I thought I came in at a 6'1", and, you know, he towered over top of me. But, you know, here's a legend. You know, you appreciate his talent. Unfortunately, you know, he didn't win that Super Bowl, but oh my God, what a great guy. And you know, it the game of golf just brings people down into the same level playing field. You know, if I was throwing footballs with him, you know, he'd be way up here. But the game of golf just makes everybody an equal. And it's a pretty cool sport because everybody's just a golfer. And Marino is pretty special. You know, I grew up watching the Dolphins and you know, you being a Bills fan, probably growing up in Buffalo, they were the arch enemies. But Marino is pretty special.
Some great games between Jim Kelly and Dan Marino back in the day, man. There was nothing like a Bills-Dolphins matchup.
That's right. Absolutely.
Yeah. And then we got, who else? We got Bo Jackson. Oh. I mean, this guy is just, he's a beast. Is he still a beast?
He's still a beast and one of the purest athletes to ever play sports. You know, he was, you know, football, you know, baseball was his thing. And he was an all-star in both football and baseball, you know, one of the most powerful men on the planet. And, you know, the reason why he had his career injury was because he was so strong. You know, a guy wrapped him up by the legs and he kept on running and it pulled his leg out of his hip socket. And that's how he retired, where a mortal human being or a running back would have just fell over. And he probably would have been playing for another 10, 20 years. But, you know, him kept on running and his leg popped out. But here's a guy that, you know, played baseball and then went into, didn't even do football spring training, just started playing with the Raiders. And, became a Hall of Famer in both sports, just a pure athlete.
Was he a good golfer? I'm sure, probably.
He can play the game. I'm not going to say he's great, but he can play the game. But he has fun. You know, he goes out to a lot of celebrity golf tournaments. You know, I've seen him a couple of times. Actually, a really cool story was, you know, my wife and I were down in Bermuda the last time I saw Bo. And one of the days off, we had the opportunity of either going golfing, going to the spa, or going deep sea fishing. So we, you know, we're in Bermuda. We're going to go deep sea fishing. Showed up to the boat that day. It was Bo Jackson, Warren Sapp that played for Buccaneers, didn't he? Didn't he play for the Buccaneers? Down there. I had Mike Vanderjagt, who was the kicker for the Colts, who's a friend of mine from Canada as well, too. And Santonio,
great kicker too, though.
Santonio Holmes that caught that football, the Super Bowl catch for the Steelers. Well, here's the four of us on a boat, deep sea fishing, and I'm like pinching myself, going, "This is pretty cool."
That's really cool.
Yeah.
And we have an actor here, too, who was on Seinfeld, right?
John O'Hurley. That's
John O'Hurley.
Jay Peterman, yes. So, you know, if you watch Seinfeld, you know about Mr. Peterson. He was Elaine's boss, an eccentric guy, a comedian, a really funny guy. And, you know, when that camera's on, we had the cameras rolling at a celebrity event in Vegas. And the second the cameras came on, he turned into that role. And what a great guy. We you know, spent a lot of time with them, spent a couple of days with them, dinner with them. But yeah, Jay Peterman is Jay Peterman, John O'Hurley.
That's awesome. Well, let's do this. I am going to just take a quick 60-second break. And when I come back, we're going to show the video of some of these crazy trick shots you do. And I want to talk, like, how did you even get started doing this? And then when we come back for our third segment, we're going to talk about something that happened in your life not too long ago when you found out you had skin cancer. Pretty serious stuff, and glad to see that you're doing well and such a fighter. We'll be back with Wake Up with Robbie Gowell, season premiere with Todd Kierstead, celebrity golfer, trick shot artist, and skin cancer survivor. We'll be back in 1 minute. This is Wake Up.
If you think selling a home is the same as last year, think again. The rules just changed, and knowing them could mean more money in your pocket. Starting August 17th, if you're selling a home, you need to know about the new rules shaking up real estate. Buyers now have to sign a contract with their agent before they can even tour your home. That means every buyer who walks through your door is more serious than ever. For sellers, this is a big opportunity. Brokerages like Century 21 ListSmart are rolling out smart options to help you keep more of your hard-earned equity and still get top dollar for your home. With the right agent, navigating these changes is simple and stress-free. So, want to sell smarter? Call 727-432-SOLD and ask for Robbie Gowell. Century 21, ListSmart, where smart sellers win.
Welcome back to Wake Up. I'm Robbie Gowell, and we're here with Todd Kierstead, celebrity golfer, trick shot artist, and most recently, skin cancer survivor. So we got a lot to unpack here. Segment two, we're going to get into these trick shots that you do. You know, when you see these shots, first of all, let's bring them up. Let's first let the audience see exactly what this guy does. Go ahead and let's bring those up. Now, I notice right here, these people are flinching a little bit.
Oh, yeah, there's a little bit of flinch going on.
I would be flinching. So first of all, after seeing those trick shots, how did that happen for the first time? How does this come to, as I've never seen anybody do this, how does this even happen?
I always say drunk at a cottage, man. That's the easiest way to do it.
So who is the first idiot one of your friends that said, "Hey, Todd, I got this idea. Let's go outside and put a tea in my mouth or in between my legs and just hit this ball out." I don't get that.
I always literally say drunk at a cottage. You know, that's the easiest way, and brings out a laugh in people. But quite honestly, you know, I've been doing it for over 20 years now. I've had the privilege of traveling around the world doing it. I can't remember the first person I did it to, but wow. You know, I look at some of those shots and still can't believe this is what I do for a living. You know, the crazy thing about it, there's only a handful of people in the world that can really do what I do, what we do live in front of an audience. And the thing about it, you know, social media, you see all these people that are doing trick shots. They're going viral right now. But what a lot of people don't realize is the camera's rolling, you know, maybe for 4 hours to get that one lucky shot. And to be able to do it live in front of an audience, you know, I put on a show, you know, a couple of years ago. It was about an hour and a half long. I call it an instructional entertainment show, where I had literally almost 3,000 people around me watching the show. And, you know, if you screw up once, twice, you know, you lose your credibility instantly because it's live. So really, there's only a handful of us, and a couple of them are really good friends of mine that can do this live in front of an audience and not miss. And thankfully, there's been no blood yet. You know, my insurance policy is paid up. But, you know, I get people, you know, and I feel them out first, and I know what shot I can hit, what I can't hit. You know, I'll hit balls out of the air like you saw. I'll get people to lay down and be human golf tees, and, you know, hitting balls off of people. You know, if you screw up, your livelihood is done. And as I said, I've got a good insurance policy and no blood in 20 years. I also know when it's going to be time to hang it up, but I know I still got a couple more years left in me.
So when's it going to be time to hang it up, that time you miss?
No, I think, you know, I'll know my own golf game. I'll know my own golf swing. You know, I might make the tee higher and higher and higher until I know it's that time to say, okay, you know what, we're done now. But yeah, it's fun. And to me, it's just feeding off the people's energy. You know, I'm doing a charity golf tournament. There's 144 people coming around. You know, I look at it, I'm putting on 36 8-minute shows a day. And literally, that's what it is. And it's raising. Last year, I helped raise almost $3.8 million for various charities around the world through golf entertainment. And what a great office. Like, my office is literally the tee deck at some very, very famous golf courses. It's pretty cool.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And I love that you said you'll know when it's time to hang it up. Because I don't know if you know what I did in a previous life.
No.
I was part of the male dancers that they made the movie Magic Mike about. If you look at the movie Magic Mike, the first thing that it says is Tampa, 1990. Yeah. So what they did is they told the story of this crazy male dancing scene that there was back in the 1990s in Tampa. And I ran one of the groups for 12 years. And see, I didn't know when it was time to hang it up because that job was so fun. But here's when I found out it was time to hang it up. Before each show, we do a round of shots, just, you know, just cheers, let's have a good one. And it was my turn to get the shots before the show. And we're up in Jacksonville, and as I'm ordering that tray of shots, I notice some of the crowd starting to mingle and some girls looking at me, and they're like, you know, they're talking about me. And then girl goes, can I ask you a question? I said, sure. She goes, do you know the guys? Did you come with them? Do you know them? I was like one of the main ones. I was like the fat Elvis at the end. I didn't know when it was time to quit. I was like the skinny fat Elvis. So anyways.
You know, I'm segueing into something else as well too. You know, I've taught golf all my life as well too. And you know, with new technology out there, with new, you know, with social media, with online, you know, with launch monitors now, I got, you know, technology on my phone, on my computer, where it's body tracking and body mapping. And that's where things are. And it really, I enjoy that a lot too, you know, seeing somebody get better. And I think that's where, you know, the next phase is going to be when I start weaning the trick shots out, because, you know, people aren't going to want to see a 75-year-old guy hitting golf balls out of the air. Right. And,
I don't know, maybe,
I don't know. We'll see, but you know, I'll know. You know, I'm my worst critic. I'm my biggest critic, you know, even, you know, hitting some of the shots that I do, they, you know, if they don't hit the fairway, I'm upset at myself. And people are like, well, you're hitting them out of the air. And I'm like, yeah, but, you know, they're all going, wow, that was amazing. But I know when they're not, when I'm not on. And to me, not on is it's missing the fairway to the right or to the left. I want to be dead down the middle almost every single time. So, you know, I got a pretty high standard, and it's professionalism too. You know, what you saw there was, you know, a 3-second shot, but it's the whole segue and entertainment leading up to that shot. It's the engagement of the four people that are sitting there, or the 400 people that are watching my show. You know, as I said, I'm putting on 36 8-minute shows, and people see the highlight reel where it's 3 seconds here, 3 seconds here. But to me, it's feeding off the energy of the crowd, like you guys used to do. And when you have that energy, when I have that energy, that's what I live off of, and I love it.
Let's talk about some of the work that you're doing with the veterans, because a lot of these trick shots and have gotten attention, obviously, being the trick shot artist, and now it's allowed you, like you said, to raise close to $4 million for charities. Let's talk about some of that work that you're doing for the veterans.
So a really cool opportunity. Back in 2014, I did a demonstration for a veterans hospital outside of Tampa, Florida, the James Haley Veteran Hospital by Busch Gardens out there. And it became apparent, I put on an hour-long show, and it became apparent that a lot of the shots that I was hitting for pure entertainment value were actually emulating the wounded veterans that were in attendance. So I'm hitting drivers blindfolded. You know, just a trick shot. And there's no really trickery involved, but I'm hitting balls blindfolded. And I pulled the blindfold off. There were guys who were affected by, you know, mustard gas in the Vietnam War and lost their sight. I'm swinging with one arm, showing the correlation between golf and tennis. They were arm amputees. I'm hitting off my knees. They were double leg amputees. I'm hitting golf balls out of a Costco fold-out chair. There were guys that were in a wheelchair situation. So it immediately turned the light bulb on to me that this wasn't so much entertaining anymore. This was motivating and inspiring to these incredible individuals that suffered some horrific physical and mental situations in the theater of war. And I was showing them that, yes, maybe you can't play golf the way that you used to, but here's an adaptive way to play. So that whole entertainment show with the, and a show that I've been doing for years with the right audience, changed my career path a little bit with working with individuals with varying degrees of disability to either introduce them or reintroduce them back to the game of golf, whether it's a war veteran, whether it's a car accident, whether it's someone that has recently acquired a stroke, MS, Parkinson's. It's giving them a sense of purpose again and giving them a sense, you know, giving back the sport that they once loved. Maybe not the way that they used to, but in an adaptive way. And it's kind of cool, you know, when you're able to give somebody back something that they love.
That's just awesome. That is awesome. And well done, man. That's just, can't say enough about that. So let's do this. Let's take one more 1 minute break. We'll be back for segment three. And we're going to get into something really serious is when you found out. How long ago was that you found out you had skin cancer?
A year and a half ago. So it was 2020, end of 23.
End of 23. So we're going to save that talk to after the break. This is Wake Up. I'm with celebrity golf trick shot artist and motivational speaker Todd Kierstead. Todd, thank you so much. We'll be back in just 1 minute. I'm Robbie Gowell, and this is Wake Up.
If you think selling a home is the same as last year, think again. The rules just changed, and knowing them could mean more money in your pocket. Starting August 17th, if you're selling a home, you need to know about the new rules shaking up real estate. Buyers now have to sign a contract with their agent before they can even tour your home. That means every buyer who walks through your door is more serious than ever. For sellers, this is a big opportunity. Brokerages like Century 21 ListSmart are rolling out smart options to help you keep more of your hard-earned equity and still get top dollar for your home. With the right agent, navigating these changes is simple and stress-free. So, want to sell smarter? Call 727-432-SOLD and ask for Robbie Gowell. Century 21, List Smart, where smart sellers win.
Hello and welcome back to Wake Up. I'm Robbie Gowell with my special guest, motivational speaker, celebrity golfer, and trick shot artist. And we're going to talk right now about something that happened in his life a year and a half ago. I'm here with Todd Kierstead. Todd, welcome back.
Thanks for having me. This is awesome. I'm having a great time.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you. And such a really a remarkable guy, great athlete. Everything's going well in your life, it seems like. And then a year and a half ago, just out of the blue, how quick, Todd, can life change?
Yeah. You know, I've spent thousands of hours under the sun on the golf course. To me, you know, growing up, color was a badge of honor. You know, how good the weekend was to how much color you had, you know, whether you're on the boat, whether you're at the beach, the sun catches up to you. I ended up being diagnosed with skin cancer, had skin cancer all over my nose. It was started off as a small little lesion, but something that grew and grew and grew. And actually, a good friend of both of ours, a gentleman by the name of Jesse Litch, who was a former pitcher of the Toronto Blue Jays and a ginger boy from St. Pete. And we were playing golf one day, and he goes, "You really need to get that thing checked out." So came back up to Canada, went to my family doctor, who prescribed me right immediately to a dermatologist. Dermatologist looked at it. No biopsy was needed. It was like, "You've got skin cancer." Ended up having four rounds of something called Mohs surgery, which is where they take, pieces of the surrounding tissue of your skin, send it off and put it under a microscope. I went through four rounds to literally rid my nose of skin cancer, which left a huge, huge void in my nose. I was literally 2 millimeters away from losing the structural integrity of my nose and having to wear a prosthetic nose for the rest of my life. What they did was they ended up taking the template from my nose. They put it on the top of my forehead. They then cut from here all the way around that template to here. They took that skin and they peeled it down, twisted it, and sewed it to my nose. So they had to close this gap up that's right here. So it felt like I was wearing a hat that was five sizes too small. And then for 3 months, my nose and my forehead were literally attached. So I had this bridge of skin hanging down. So every time I put ointment on my nose, I'd feel it up here because all the nerve endings were still attached. And it was pretty horrific. It really was. Leading up to it, I was diagnosed. They told me what was going to happen. You immediately hop on the internet and you start.
Can I just interrupt? I've never had cancer. My dad passed away from cancer, so very sensitive topic. But how do you feel when you get diagnosed with cancer? Like when they say that's cancer, I mean, what's the first thing that goes through your head?
Dude, there couldn't be a more scarier word in the English dictionary than cancer. And I lost my dad to cancer as well, too. So, thankfully, they say it's just skin cancer, but, there's going to be I can't remember how many million, I don't have the stats here, but every year there's millions of people in the U.S. that are diagnosed with skin cancer. 7% of the general public will get skin cancer in their lifetime. Me being a golfer, it goes up even higher. 27% of golfers will get skin cancer in their lifetime. So if you think about it, that's one person in every foursome will be diagnosed with skin cancer in their lifetime. And the industry is just starting to now raise awareness about skin cancer. But you take a look at, you're in Florida, you got the fishermen that are wearing, the balaclavas, the sleeves, they're covered from head to toe because they understand the importance of skin cancer. Take a look at ball players now. Ball players are starting to wear the long sleeves now. The head coach of the Buffalo Bills during practice is wearing that big bucket hat during practice. He knows what it's all about. So it's just starting to get that education piece. But when you get diagnosed with it, it hit me like a hammer. It really did. And I went down the dark hole of hopping on the internet. I knew what was going to happen to me. I realized it was called Mohs surgery here. Then it was called a pyramidian forehead flap because they wanted to have live living tissue. They didn't want to take a piece of skin from another part of my body because once they detach it, it's dead. And then hopefully it takes. So they wanted live blood flow that was still flowing. So they did a pyramidian forehead flap. But the toughest thing was, I worked with so many ill and injured wounded veterans, and I realized the psychological injury that goes on. And our face is our brand. Our face is what we're known for. We look at a 6-month-old child and they look up and they smile at you because they recognize your face. Your face is your identity. And I literally had no idea what I was going to look like. I've seen pictures. I saw everything. And it was like, either I could go into recluse for 3 months while my forehead and nose were attached, I'm going to go full Monty. There you go.
You did.
And I exposed myself on social media. I shared my story. I shared my emotions. I shared my feelings because, as I said, I could have went down a very dark space by going into recluse, or I could have shared my story, shared my everything, and it was the best thing I ever did. It was the best thing I did for me personally, to get this amount of support that I had. But it was also incredibly important to share my story to help others. And literally within the first 2 weeks of sharing my story, I had literally 40 golf professionals reach out to me and go, "You've made me go to the dermatologist, or you made me book an appointment with the dermatologist." And literally months afterwards, half of them were actually diagnosed with skin cancer, but they would have never gone if it wasn't for me sharing my story. And now, you know, I'm the leading advocate now for skin cancer awareness in the golf industry. I was just a keynote speaker at the PGA show, which is the largest golf convention in the world. There was 70 countries in Orlando last year, thousands of professionals. And I was a speaker on the education piece for skin cancer. Right after this podcast, I'm going to be doing an educational webinar for the LPGA Tour. It's growing, and it's kind of morbid, but I'm so glad it was so intrusive as what it was, because when I do share my story now, there's a shock value. There's that, holy shit, I don't want that to happen to me. Where if it was just a little, you know, an incision and a stitch here, or, you know, a liquid nitrogen burn off, it wouldn't have the same impact. But literally, I've had 9 facial reconstructive surgeries in a year and a half. And it's tough, but, you know, it's given me now another purpose. So people don't have to go through what I went through. And my speech is called "Learn from My Pain, Learn from My Scars." And if I didn't have that scars, if I didn't have that intrusive surgeries, it wouldn't have the same message or impact.
You know, I remember seeing this because we've been friends on social media for a while. And when you posted that, I was like, oh, this is bad. But what I loved is you didn't hide from it. You didn't run from it. You just put it out there, man. And I love that.
Yeah,
I do that too. You wear your heart on your sleeve, and like you said, people are now reaching out to you. And if you would have never done that,
yep,
there's a lot less awareness out there, right?
So now I'm doing talks now for tennis. You know, Tennis Canada is reaching out to me. I just wrote an article for their magazine. Pickleball, huge sport. I'm now going to be in contact this week with somebody from Pickleball Canada. It's just growing because everybody's in an outdoor environment. Everybody's in an outdoor sport. And because of me sharing my story, it's hopefully helping other people. If I can just help one person, you know, it was all worth it.
So what is your advice for somebody if the bucket hats, but, you know, what type of, I guess, suntan lotion should people wear when they're out in the sun? What is the best stuff in your opinion?
Yeah, the best one is actually the one that you actually wear. You know, there's many different sunscreens on the market. There's a chemical sunscreen, which is what you traditionally find in your aerosol spray. What that does is that absorbs the UV, but then it emits it as heat. You then have the creams, which is a mineral sunscreen. That goes on like a shield. So it takes the UV and it literally bounces off. But you know, some people don't want to put that on their hands, or minerals tend to give you a little bit of a white cast. So if you already have a darker pigmentation, or if you already have, you know, a darker melanin, you know, having that white cast might not be something that you want to have. But the biggest thing is just covering up, you know, making sure that you either cover it up with shade, cover it up with clothing, or cover it up with sunscreen. And that's at the end of the day, you know. But so I still go outside, you know, without sunscreen first thing in the morning to walk the dogs, because I do want that vitamin D. But, you know, the second I get back home at 9 in the morning, I've got literally sunscreen sitting right by my toothbrush, because I still don't have that habit of putting sunscreen on. It's not a habit yet. But if it's in front of the toothbrush or in front of the toothpaste, I'm like, oh, okay, got to put it on. And, you know, you should be reapplying. And to me, it was, you know, if I put sunscreen on, if I remembered or if it was convenient, and I never reapplied either, but you should be reapplying every 2 hours. You know, there's so many things that I've learned. I've spent hundreds of hours researching, you know, a car window, you know, driving a car, you know, your arms sitting outside, your arms or your face is being blasted by the sun by an open window, or the different glass, you know, the front windshield is a different glass than your side and back, and the The front windshield is protecting you from both UVA and UVB, but the side and back windows are not. Sitting beside an office window, you know, everybody wants that office window, but, you know, it's the window is protecting you from UVB rays. Now, there's a difference. There's UVA and UVB. And UVB is, I think of B as burn. It affects the upper most part of your skin that causes burning. UVA penetrates a lot deeper, and that's what's giving you your aging and your skin cancers. So a window at an office building is protecting you from burning, but it's not protecting you from that aging or the opportunity of skin cancer. You know, people with darker pigmentation, you know, or you think, you know what, I've already got my base tan, I don't need sunscreen. Well, a base tan only gives you about an SPF of 3 to 5. Yes, you're not going to burn with a base tan, but you're still getting that UVA rays that are penetrating deep. And you look at Bob Marley died of skin cancer. Everybody's going to be involved and should be aware of what they're getting.
Wow, that is just, I would have never known. I'm just like a caveman.
So was I. I was so ignorant, and I get two things when I do my talks. The first thing is you've humanized skin cancer, and that's important. But the big thing is wow, I know about skin cancer, but I knew nothing about skin cancer. And that's how I was too. I was ignorant about it. I was putting on friggin' lotion to enhance the sun. I wanted to be as brown as possible. I wanted to get that color because, hey, it's a healthy glow. You know, it's not that healthy.
Well, a remarkable story. How are you feeling now?
Doing good. Doing really good. Go see my dermatologist. I'll be having another appointment. I go to see them every 3 months. I got another appointment with my plastic surgeon. He's got an ego. It's kind of cool because I keep on sliding a picture of George Clooney. And he's like, yeah, I'm not a miracle worker, right? But he's got a bit of an ego, which is cool. You know, he looks at me and goes, yeah, there's a little bit. I could do a little bit more work here, do a little bit more work there. But, you know, everything right now is superficial. And to me, yeah, I'm scarred up. You know, I've got a scar from here all the way down. I've got some excess skin here where they folded my forehead. I've got scarring around my nose. But I look at it. It's also a conversation piece. And if this is what gets a conversation started, and if that conversation helps somebody, I'm okay with what I got.
No, that's just fantastic. That's awesome. Well, let's do this. We're going to take our last break, and we're going to come back for our final segment. I'm going to talk about my favorite topic, conspiracy theories, and the story we were always told. You down for that?
Absolutely.
I knew you'd be down for it. All right. Well, we're going to be back in a minute. I am Robbie Gowell. I am here with motivational speaker, celebrity golfer, trick shot artist, and skin cancer survivor, Todd Kierstead. This is Wake Up, and we'll be back.
If you think selling a home is the same as last year, think again. The rules just changed, and knowing them could mean more money in your pocket. Starting August 17th, if you're selling a home, you need to know about the new rules shaking up real estate. Buyers now have to sign a contract with their agent before they can even tour your home. That means every buyer who walks through your door is more serious than ever. For sellers, this is a big opportunity. Brokerages like Century 21 ListSmart are rolling out smart options to help you keep more of your hard-earned equity and still get top dollar for your home. With the right agent, navigating these changes is simple and stress-free. So, want to sell smarter? Call 727-432-SOLD and ask for Robbie Gowell. Century 21, List Smart, where smart sellers win.
Hello and welcome back to Wake Up with Robbie Gowell. I'm here with celebrity golfer, trick shot artist, and most recently skin cancer survivor, Todd Kierstead. Todd, welcome back for our final segment.
Thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to this one here.
Yeah, so I always have to ask my guests, are you down for segment 4? Because I am a little bit of a conspiracy theorist. And I never was. I'm the type of guy that if it was on the news and you see it, well, you know, it must be true. Until a few years ago, I started questioning things and I went down that rabbit hole. And that's just a hole you don't ever want to go down. And now I'm down in the bottom of the hole. And I look at things so differently today. And yesterday I was on social media. And did you know yesterday was the 55th anniversary of them landing on the moon.
Did not know that.
And it's funny, you see the comments. I think Channel 8 posted it, and they had the picture of, you know, the astronaut on the moon. And I started looking at the comments, and no one believes it anymore. Did we land on the moon, Todd, in your opinion? Was it true? Did we do that?
How did that flag flutter in the wind?
I think the fan that was up above it.
Okay.
Maybe connected to the lighting and the, I don't know, maybe the producer or sidekick was holding it. I don't know. It's crazy because when you start asking questions about why we've never been back, you know what they tell you? You can even look this up. True story. We've lost the technology. Now think about that.
Yeah.
These are engineers, people who work at NASA. Why have you not been back to the moon in 50? Yeah, we just don't have that technology anymore. It was destroyed. Too expensive to recreate. And then you look at those old videos of the guy floating outside. It's just total bullshit. But talking about conspiracies, you had something. Well, it was here. It was all over the world. But in Canada, COVID was pretty bad for a while. I'm not a big COVID guy.
Dude, we got locked down. We were almost locked down for 2 years. Like, we even got locked down so much that we couldn't even play golf. Like,
outside.
Outside. Outside sport. Outside sport. We had it, and then, like, 3 weeks later, they're like, nope, can't play golf anymore. And, you know, there was things, you know, you saw the pool noodles in the cups so you wouldn't touch the flag. You know, they took away the ball washers. They didn't want you touching that. And
yeah, and you could even see the difference. It almost seemed like, you know, with my son playing hockey, like the Canadian players, because we were only locked down maybe a few months, 3-4 months, but these guys had to stop playing for almost like 2 years, almost every sport, it seems like.
Not only, you know, hockey players, I have friends that, you know, high school graduations, you know, couldn't do high school graduations. You know, that's a monument moment in a child's life, and couldn't even do that.
You know, it's funny you say that because it happened during my older son, I think it was maybe his freshman or sophomore year. And they were just told, you got to go home. And I came home from work one day and he's laying on the dog bed like this during the day. I said to my wife, what's he doing? She said, he's in class. I'm like, class? He's laying on a dog bed with a phone in his hand. Yeah, that's class.
It was insane. We had passports up here. You couldn't get in the restaurants. You could without showing these, you know, QR codes and no explanation, no apologies. You know, we keep on hearing stuff now. You know, they were jabbing people and they weren't even pulling the syringe back to make sure that you weren't even hitting a blood vessel. They were just jabbing and away you go. And, you know, I took it very seriously. My wife and I took it very seriously because, you know, our parents live very, very close. And, you know, they said, small bubble, keep your bubble small. We literally kept our bubble small because we wanted to see them. And, you know, COVID was incredible for us because it brought us closer together. But I mean, I financially lost money, you know. Thankfully, I don't have a lot of capital. You know, I rely on my body, my hands, my brain. But, you know, I don't have a lot of capital out there. But I look at businesses that are out there, small businesses, and you look at the business that we're running, the Costco's. You know, you're getting, you know, a couple of hundred people in a Costco. You had to wait in line, but there's still people in Costco shopping. But meanwhile, the mom and pop grocery store around the corner was shut down. And, you know, the Walmarts were open now. You know, the essentials, but yet the restaurants, and there's been no accountability and no apologies.
And it's crazy. You'd be in these restaurants and you'd pull your mask down to eat, and then you'd have somebody come up to you need to put your mask back up. It's like, so the disease knows when I'm eating?
Tried doing that for 2 years, literally 2 years up there in Canada. You know, and then, you know, I'd go on social media and I see all my friends in Florida. They were like, you know, 3 weeks after, you know, you guys got locked down for a little bit, then all of a sudden you guys were back to normal. And I'm like, holy Christ, what's going on here? You know, and then all of a sudden you guys got looked down upon because, well, these Floridians are still living, partying and having a great time and not worrying. But yet nowadays it's like, what was real and what wasn't?
You know, it's funny you say that about Florida because within 6 months, it was like we were back to living somewhat normal. And my son was playing in hockey tournaments in different states. I remember going up to Michigan, and as a Florida guy, 6 months later, you're walking through the grocery store in Michigan and people are giving you dirty looks because you don't have three layers of masks on because you're a Florida guy. You're just, I just got to go to the grocery store to get something. And everyone's just giving you looks, like in a restaurant and all kinds of stuff. Weird.
It's incredible what that brought out in people and what it brought out in a government as well too.
You got any conspiracies? Anything else? Maybe not a conspiracy, but how about the Coldplay concert? That was not
good. Oh, they like that? And they were just in Toronto, like literally the couple days before, they put on like four concerts or five concerts out here. And, you know, did that cameraman know what was going on? Or did somebody know what was going on to catch that video right at the...
What's your thoughts?
I think somebody was in on it to be able to put that out there like that. Yeah.
You think that was a setup? Well, listen.
Yeah. Yeah.
I saw what was the best way he should have handled that. You know, and for her to jump away like that, that wasn't good. That just made it look pretty bad.
I wanted the girl that was standing beside to be interviewed because she couldn't stop laughing. And that woman whispered something, was talking to her with her back turned, and the girl was just pissing herself laughing. So I'd like to know what that conversation was about.
Supposedly, the lady who set up the concert for this company was fired.
Wow.
Like the PR person, whoever it was that set that event up, was just... released. They just blamed it on her. Maybe they thought she set him up.
Well, out of what, 40,000 people in that audience or 30,000 people, for them to put that camera on them, I don't know. I think there's something up.
Yeah.
Supposedly he wasn't too liked in his company too. So yeah.
Well, there you go. Usually the CEOs are not. Sometimes rightfully so, sometimes not, but it's never good to be the boss.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, listen, man, I want to thank you so much for being here today. And when you're ever in Tampa, we need to get back and do this live.
1,000%. I want to see this new studio. I want to hang out a little bit. Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, Todd Kierstead, my friend, thank you for coming out. We really appreciate you. And if anybody's watching this and they want to see you, where can they find you next? Where can they see you?
You know what? The best bet, website, on social media at My name, Todd Kierstead, or Todd K Golf on Instagram or that. And my website is toddkierstedgolf.com. And send me a message. If you have somebody, first of all, that is, you know, might be going down the cancer route, the skin cancer route, and they want to know something or want a little bit of advice or just want a little bit of support, let me know. If you have somebody that it's in an adaptive situation, recently acquired an injury, a brain injury, physical injury, let me know. I'd love to work with them or point them in the right direction. But yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Hey, thank you so much. And we'll catch you next time when you're in Tampa.
Sounds good, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you, Todd. See you, man. Well, that's going to do it for the season premiere of my podcast called Wake Up. I'm Robbie Gowell. Remember to stay inspired, and if you like the show, do me a favor, subscribe down below. We've got some great guests coming up here this season. And Todd, thank you so much for being my guest today, and best of luck to you in the future. And remember, if you're ever in Tampa, come back and see me, but it was great to have you. I want to thank the guys again at Transcend Studio for having me here in Tampa, Travis and the boys, and until next time, I'm Robbie Gowell, and you've been watching Wake Up.
Even when you feel low, you can still go. Even when you feel slow, you can still go. Even when there's no hope, you can still go. I never answer to no, man, I still go. Go, 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 go.